glad that you're listening to this podcast. This podcast is a ministry of the Bonners Ferry Baptist Church and of Pastor Devin Needham.
Matthew chapter 6, please. We praise the Lord for how God just directs. We came through 95 North. As you all know, there was a rock slide, and it happened like a day before. Today is what, Sunday? Saturday, Friday? Another one fell on Friday, and we came through Saturday. So thank God for delaying our trip, amen. I hate to be right in the middle of that thing, you know. So anyway, Matthew chapter 6. Shall we please stand for reading of God's word? I will give a little bit more update about Nigeria and the Bible's issue and all that. And it's not an issue, it's a blessing, amen. We're working through it. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read from verse number 5. From 5 to verse number 15. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, or like this, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I would like to preach on this subject with the help of the Lord, the secret life of prayer. The secret life of prayer. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for today. Father, we thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for all the benefits, Lord, that you give us, even though at times, Lord, we don't even deserve any of them. Thank you, Lord, for your long-suffering. Thank you, Father, for your ever-seeing eyes around us. Father, many of us walk around with a smile on our faces, but we carry heavy burdens. God, I pray that you would lift that burden, Lord, this morning. God, I pray you would open our spiritual eyes to see how mighty you are. God, I pray that you would teach us something, Lord, about prayer, about getting things answered through prayer. And the relationship that we have in you, I pray, Lord, that it would be more intimate. God, be our teacher. Fill me, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit power. I yield myself to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Thank you very much. The secret life of prayer. It's not really a secret, you know. We can get it all in the Bible, amen. You know, so, just hear me out this morning. The secret life of prayer. Ian Bounds said this, "Much time spent with God is a secret of all successful praying." Amen. "Prayer, which is felt as a mighty force, is an immediate product of much time spent with God." Amen? Now, we've traveled from California all the way here. Amen? And I'm used to a little noise. Amen? Doing preaching. We're not in a Catholic church, are we?
Amen.
Right? Okay. When I say prayer is great, and that's the way we get answers to prayer, through prayer and time, and God is willing to answer our prayer. Something like that. Some great a great truth like that. I want to hear amen.
Amen.
Did you know that I came with my own amen corner? Huh? Did you know that? If it's so quiet, I just sit in the front row. Amen, brother. That's good preaching. Thank you, my brother. You know? So if it's kind of quiet, I'm going to just bring my, I'm just going to have my amen corner help me out a little bit. You know, amen. So I want to see some smiles. Okay. I'm a visitor. I'm a young fella, you know, got to help me out, you know. But I want to know that at least you're alive and breathing. Amen. Did I mention about my glasses last time? Huh? I did. I wear glasses. I'm nearsighted. I'm not farsighted. So I use my glasses. Okay. But I don't use my glasses when I'm preaching because I don't want to see you all. Amen. I see a lot of people. That's a little discouraging. Amen. I'm not saying here. So I just always keep my glasses away because, you know, I just want to see just sea of people. Amen. So if you tend to sleep Sunday morning, you can get away with it with me. Amen. I'm not going to see you. But just don't snore. Amen. Okay. All right. Amen. Now, Ian Bounce also said this. The real sermon is made in the closet. The man, God's man, is made in the closet. His weightiest and sweetest messages were gotten when alone with God. Amen. And the story that we read here, Jesus is on the mount and he's teaching and he got a lot of people, a multitude gathered together in chapter number 4. And look at what it says in verse number 25. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, from beyond Jordan. So it's a multitude of people. Amen. Gathered together, and Jesus took the opportunity in chapter number 5, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and said to teach. Amen. And it continues in chapter number 6, and it goes on even through chapter 7. But basically, what he's talking about here, we're talking about prayer. Amen. All right, just testing. Come on now. He that has prayed well has studied well. Amen? To be little with God is to be little for God. If we would prevail with men in public, we must prevail with God in secret. Ironside said that. Amen? What I'm trying to say is to be successful in prayer, to get our prayers answered, we need to reveal 3 secrets about prayer. And I just want to warn you, we're not going to finish it tonight. I'll do part 2 this evening. But remember the story in Luke chapter 10, from verse number 38, when Jesus came to Bethany, and came into Lazarus and Mary and Martha's house. And you remember when Jesus came and Martha was doing all sorts of things, getting ready to supper and all kinds of stuff, making sure everything is just right. And where's Mary? She's not around. And she went and she was at the feet of Jesus Christ. And Martha said, Lord, why didn't you tell my sister to come in the kitchen and fix the cornbread and fix the banana pudding and fix up the macaroni and cheese and the chicken and all that. And amen, I'm hungry, amen. So Jesus said, hey, that Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He enjoyed our fellowship with him. Amen. And that's what we ought to do as Christians. Yes, we read our Bibles and yes, we pray. There's nothing wrong with that. And we meditate in the Word of God and we do the things. We go soul winning. We present Christ to our friends, to our neighbors. But listen now, we ought not to remove or eliminate the fact of the personal time with God. Amen. He frequently spent time there. They were very close. Before Lazarus was raised, he frequented there. But Jesus said that, I'm not going to take that away from her. In the Greek island stands an olive tree that supposedly dates back from the time of Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine. If true, this tree is some 2,300 400 years old. The trunk is very large, but completely hollow. The tree is little more than a thick bark. There are a few long, straggling branches, but they're supported by sturdy wooden poles every few feet. It has an occasional leaf here and there, and might produce just a few olives each year. Nearby fields are olive groves in many directions, strong, healthy young trees covered with leaves and olives. The old tree can still call itself an olive tree by nature, but it has long since ceased to fulfill an olive tree's function. Many tourists around the world, they come and to inspect this ancient relic. Many Christians are just like that dead olive tree. Amen? They still go to church. They still call themselves as Christians. They still read their Bibles. They still go soul winning. But it's very hard to find them on their knees alone with God. You become a weaker Christian day by day. We don't have that intimate time with God. We can do so much for God, but it's just like a little pin that's been punched in a nail on a tire. The tire loses its function slowly but surely before you find yourself stranded in the work of life. Because of no prayer, there are no answers to prayer. Because of no prayer, there's no feeling of closeness with God. Because of no prayer, nothing real inside of them eventually. Their motives for serving Christ is not to please Jesus, but to please others. Because of no prayer, they make it a duty, not a delight, to serve God. God's desire for us is to speak to Him. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace, and you may obtain mercy to find grace and help in time of need. God's desire is to teach us about Himself. If God doesn't open Himself to us, folks, we'll never know Him intimately. I understand that we live by the Word of God, amen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Prayer alone with God is just as important. Somebody said this, prayer is not measured in length, but in depth. It's not the long prayers. There's nothing wrong with having long prayers. But it's how deep you can get with God. I don't know about you, but I have needs, and we all have needs, and I imagine that we might be going through some things that nobody will ever understand. But when we can get a hold of God, when we can have a prayer life that can get God's attention, that's what we need. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, talking about Jesus, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. There's something that they saw when Jesus was on his knees in praying. The time that he prayed, maybe what he was praying to the Father about, or the intensity of the praying, something got their attention. They didn't say, Jesus, teach us to preach. They didn't say, teach us to organize. There's nothing wrong about preaching. There's nothing wrong about teaching. There's nothing wrong about organization. But listen now, there's something that they saw in Jesus' prayer time and say, hey, Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Prayer is usually our last resort instead of our first response. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. We can't afford to be a hollow Christian when it comes to private prayer time. What we focus our hearts on first in the morning will shape our entire day. Somebody said this, I woke up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. troubles just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, why, child, you didn't knock? I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day tolled on gray and bleak. I called on the Lord for the reason he said you didn't seek. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. When you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you seek love and favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night today. So when life feels dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. The songwriter said it this way. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. If we don't prioritize our life, something or someone will. Don't let people look at us. Listen now, people could admire what we look like. People could admire our intellect. People could admire our character. But listen now, let them not admire what's on the outside, amen? Because listen now, if we pay so much attention on the outside and we don't take care of the hollowness on the inside, listen now, one of these days, a heavy wind of life is going to come and knock you down. And when it eventually knocks you down, listen now, then everybody will know that you are hollow on the inside. You may be the greatest Christian somebody ever knows. You could be the only Bible that somebody would ever read. So we have to realize that, yes, we can read our Bibles, and yes, we can spend time with God out soul winning and winning souls to Christ, and yes, we can do good. Yes, we can have a good testimony. But listen now, let's not forget the one-on-one, the special intimate time with God. We can be washing clothes and praying. We could be walking around praying. Listen now, we need to have that devoted time with God. There was an owner of a company, and he had hired a foreman. And when he had a Christian foreman and loved the Lord, read his Bible on the job, and prayed often. So his office was next to the secretary's desk. And so often he will ask the secretary not to disturb him when he's in conference. That's how he put it. And so he would, whenever the phone would call, the secretary would take a message while he's having the conference. So the owner of the company came one day unexpectedly, and he needed to see the foreman. So he approached the secretary and asked to see the foreman, and she said, sir, I apologize, but he's in conference. Can I take a message? And he was surprised, was taken back by her response. He said, don't you know who I am? You know, I can give you a message. I want to see him personally. And she said, sorry, sir. He said that he doesn't need to be disturbed if he's in conference. And he got angry, got upset, and marched beside her office, her desk, and opened up the door. And what would he find his foreman doing? He was on his knees, his Bible open, and praying to God. And he slowly backed away and shut the door. We can't do much without praying. We need God to come on our behalf at times that we cannot handle things. And listen, our praying, actually praying shows to God that we need him. Just because you have a car that runs and doesn't puff out smoke when you're driving, and it starts right away, and you don't have any issues at home, and you have a bank account full of money and a lot of friends and everything, and you don't need God. Listen now, there are times that we're going to need God, and there are times that we're going to need things that money cannot buy. Money cannot buy a peace of mind. Money cannot buy forgiveness of our sins. Money cannot buy favor with God. So we need that close relationship with God. We need that intimate time with God. Public prayers are of little value unless they are founded by private praying. Our praying needs to be pressed and pursued with an energy that never tires, persistency which will not be denied, and a courage that never fails. I'm not talking about God not being able to answer our prayers during prayer meeting or public prayer time, because He's God, amen. We can't put God in a box. Nothing should come between us and the Savior. We think and talk more about our problems than we pray about it, don't we, sometimes? There's more you can do after you pray, but there's nothing more you can do until you pray. All our misery is derived from not being able to sit in a quiet room alone with God. We got all sorts of stuff going on. We got the phone call, and we got people talking, and we got different things going on. We got the television going. And listen now, we find it very hard to sit still with God. The Bible says in Isaiah 30 verse 7, says their strength, listen now, their strength is to sit still. Amen. And that's hard. When you see the clouds of situations coming, when you see situations that you cannot handle, you want to get up and handle the situation with your own hands. But a lot of times our strength is just to sit still and let God deal with it. Amen. I don't know about you, I like a God that is Almighty God. Psalm 46 verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Matthew chapter 14 verse 23, it says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening time was come, he was there alone. We need that special time. Very quickly, there are three secrets about prayer. I'm only going to touch on just the first one, and then we'll talk about the other two this evening. The three secrets about prayer. Number one, the secret life of praying and fasting. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. It says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of the sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 17. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father. I lost my place here. Which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Turn to Matthew chapter 17, please. Matthew chapter 17. You know the story. Pastor, what time do we close out? Okay. Let me use my glasses to check. Is there a quote after? Okay. All right. Great. Amen. The secret life of praying and fasting. Look at what it says in verse number, chapter 17. Look at what it says in verse number 14. You know the story. You know the story. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And look at Jesus' response. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Now listen, here's what's taking place. This is good. This is what's taking place. this man, the father, brings his son to the disciples, okay, to heal his son of being a lunatic, okay? And they couldn't do it. So when Jesus came, Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, oh, faithless generation, how long am I going to suffer you, you know? And he heals the son. So later on, the disciples come to Jesus and said, why couldn't we heal this boy? And look at what it says. Look at what it says in verse number 20. And Jesus said unto them, watch this now, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Watch this now, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. But it was impossible for them to heal that boy. You understand? But Jesus is saying that nothing shall be impossible. When you're dealing with praying and fasting, listen now, nothing shall be impossible according to that boy, according to that situation. There's some things that are so hard. There's some things that you need God to do in your life. There are things that prayers that are so monumental, so the big prayers. And Jesus said, look at what it says in verse 21. It says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and what? Fasting. Do you know what Jesus was saying? It's not for the fact that, I'm going to skip a meal. I'm not going to eat for a day. I'm not going to eat for 3 days. I'm not going to, you know, and then I'm going to be praying. And then, voila, my prayer gets answered. That's not what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that the reason why the disciples were not able to heal that boy was because they didn't have enough faith. And in order to have great faith, you need to fast and pray. That fasting, when you submit, you subject yourself from fleshly appetite, it increases your faith.
Amen. Right.
Oh, I don't have enough faith that God is going to do this. Pray and fast.
Amen.
That's going to increase your faith. Oh, I can't believe God. And listen, now he said, look, Jesus rebuked them, oh, faithless generation. That's how we get our prayers answered. The ones that are hard, the ones that, oh, I need a little bit more faith and trust in God. And if God has revealed to you that it's okay, that it's right in his will, it's right in his word. And listen now, and you need this prayer answered and you need God to help you. And listen now, if you don't have that faith, you're not going to see that answer. He said, this kind. What kind? The type of prayer that was monumental for them. They couldn't heal that boy because they didn't have enough faith. And in order to have more faith, hey, subject yourself to a fleshly appetite a little bit. And listen now, decide that, I'm going to fast. I'm going to withdraw myself for some things for a little while and concentrate on praying and the word of God. And listen now, your faith will increase. There was one time, I don't know if I told you this before, just real quick. When I was in school, when I was in college, I may have said this because I love when God did this for me. And I could tell 1,000 times. If you've heard it before, just act like, wow. Amen. So anyway, I got right with the Lord. I got saved when I was 14. Then around 17, no, I ran away from God from 14. As soon as I got saved, it seemed as though God called me to preach. And I hated the thought of being a preacher because every preacher I knew was poor. Amen? And I want to be a rich preacher. The American dream from Nigeria? Come on now. You understand? So then I ran away from God for about 4 years. God took me through the ringer. Boy, I still feel the paddle. I still feel it. You know, oh, he got me good, you know. So then I came back to the Lord, went to Bible college, and all this, you know, God bless you, I'm praying for you, all that stuff, I didn't even know. Fresh from the world, Got Right with the Lord, Bible College. You understand? So then, during Thanksgiving time, all the students, they were going home for Christmas, for Thanksgiving. And let me take one step back. I didn't have the money to enroll in school. So the principal, the president of the college said, those of you who cannot enroll in your students, freshmen, could you stand up? Because of finances, stand up. So several of us stood up. And he said, your first month's tuition is deferred. So you can enroll in school, and then you get yourself a job, and you start paying monthly or whatever you can, you pay back, you know. So I had two issues. Number one, I needed to pay the school that I went to prior. And up to today, I don't know how they found out. I don't know how they found out. But they said, you owe $600 in the school prior, and you need to pay them that $600 before you can enroll here. So I had the initial tuition and that bill, two of them, that I needed to take care of. And all I had was like $75 in my pocket. And so then I said, you know what? I know who I'm going to call. I'm going to call my pastor. Okay, I'm going to call my pastor at my home church. So I called them, and I said, Pastor, I said, this is Brother Inka. I'm at college now, Bible school, and they need for me to come up with $600 to pay for a school that I had, the school bill that I had outstanding, and they've already deferred me to enroll in school, but I need to pay that before I can enroll. So I thought he would say, oh, Brother Inka, oh, I'm glad that you called. Secretary, write Brother Inka a check of $600. I was just dreaming. Oh, yes. So then something he said on the phone to me, I didn't understand. I understand it now, but I didn't understand it then. So he said, Brother, it's good that you're in Bible college, all that, you know. And he said, you know what, brother, we'll be praying for you. Praying for me. I mean, I didn't tell him this. I said, I don't want you to pray for me. I want a check. I want a check. So when he said, pray for me, I said, man, I was so down. That was my only hope. So I went to a room. I went to where they keep students that haven't completed their enrollment. So I went there, and I got on my knees. Listen now, I got on my knees. First time I ever prayed like this. I told God, I said, I know you want me here in Bible college, but I need $600 to pay for that school. I said, God, please, I need the $600. So I got on my knees. I said some more to the Lord. So I went to the cafeteria about 2 days later, and there was a student that was there that just got enrolled. He came from a wealthy family, grandparents. All the school bills paid for the year. All his books are all done. Everything's all ready. He's just waiting for school to start. Boy, I wish I was related to him. You know. So then I was just talking to him. He was asking me about my classes, about enrollment. I told him that I couldn't enroll because I needed $600, blah, blah, blah. Then right away, as soon as he finished eating, he said, come with me. Went to his dormitory. I stood outside, and he handed me an envelope. And that envelope contained six $100 bills. I didn't know he had it. I never knew. I thought I was just talking to another student. He said, I will see you in class. So I paid. I sent a money order and sent it to that school. But that's not the best part of the story. Thanksgiving time, everybody was going home. They had their suitcases. They have everything. They were all happy. They were showing their plane ticket. They were showing their bus ticket, you know. And yours truly was stuck in the college. Couldn't go home. No money. Nothing. I was so homesick that day, that week of Thanksgiving. I told the Lord, I said, God, come Christmas time, I don't want to stay on campus. I want to go home. So at that time, you can call the airlines and it will give you a price, and that price won't change. So it was $175 was a ticket to go home So I said, you know what? I'm going to start praying for it every day that God will give me that $175 for me to go home, buy a plane ticket. Listen now, I started to pray and I started to fast. Praying, fasting. I was new at fasting. It seemed as though my legs were weak. It seemed like I was crawling more than I was walking. Boy, the food smelled so good at that time. Any type of food that I hated, I loved it then. My favorite meals were being cooked at the time, and candy bars and chocolate chip cookies, all kinds of stuff. Oh, it was hard. Fasting was new to me. But listen, there was a point in time during my prayer time, during those times, that I knew that God was going to give it to me. How did I get from, I'm going to just put it down, and I'm going to start praying for it, to the point where I knew that God was going to, I thought it was going to throw it through the window. When I was walking on campus, I was looking on the ground for the money. That's how sure I was that I was going to get that money. God had increased my faith through praying and fasting. The money came. But let me tell you how it came. I looked in the mailbox one day, and there was an envelope from the school that I sent the money to. And they sent me back not $174, not $176, exactly to the dollar, $175. I paid too much. They sent me back the refund. What I'm trying to say, listen now, God is saying, Jesus is saying in the Word of God, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. What type of prayer do you need God to answer? What problems are you facing? What burdens are you carrying? What need do you have? Listen now, you may not have that faith now, but listen now, why don't you just push away from the Burger Kings for a while and push away from the McDonald's for a while, push away from the meals for a while and say, God, I know that this is what you want, and I know that this is your will for me. God, I'm on my knees and I'm praying, God, you've got to come through. If you don't come through, it's not going to get done. That's the type of prayer that gets God's attention. The secret of prayer, the secret life, the three, the secret life of praying and fasting. It's not just praying. God will increase your faith through fasting. What are you burdened about today? We were traveling to Modesto, California, and I want to advise you, never go and park your car and spend the night in Modesto, California. You might not find the car. You might not find the car. We were coming back. We traveled from Nigeria back, and we usually fly into California because the kids' school is there. And we were traveling fresh. They put a hold on my credit card, because of fraud protection, and couldn't do anything. So they had, not only did they put a hold on it, they canceled the card. They canceled it, so they had to mail me another one. And we're in the van, and we're looking for a hotel, and we didn't have enough with what we had on the debit card. So all we had to do was, hey, we're going to have to sleep in the van. Amen. There was a hotel that we could pay for, but it was in Modesto, California. And folks, we'd rather sleep in the van than to go to a hotel in Modesto. So but anyway, I just got a few minutes. We got to Modesto, California. This was maybe about 6 years, seven, 7 years ago. And the group of guys that were watching us when we were offloading the stuff. And I don't know why I'm getting ahead of myself today. Let me go back. I had a sister. I'll finish it up tonight if I don't finish it. I have a sister. She's well-to-do. She has two stores in Nigeria. She buys clothes, shoes, and sell in Nigeria. She's well-to-do. She travels all the time. So I'm laying in bed, and I'm going through some issues, and I'm praying, and God is not answering my prayer. Okay? So there are times where you and I maybe have been through it. I know I have. I started to get angry at the Lord. You know, God, why aren't you answering this prayer? No, I'm your man. You know, hey, I'm a missionary. You know, I'm a preacher. Surely you got to answer it, right? You know, so I'm laying in bed having a pity party. My sister calls me and she says, look, I'm at the airport and I have 28 bags that need to be checked in and loaded on the plane. And at that time, Nigeria and the airline, there's an embargo. So you're limited with what you can take on the plane. And the limit for her was only 2. And she has 28. Okay? So she tells me, she said, look, she said, Yinka, please, you got to pray for me. Pray that all my stuff gets in. Okay? So I just mumbled, okay, I'll pray for you. And I hang up the phone. And I mumbled, Lord, please help my sister, blah, 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 you know, whatever. I'm dealing with my own issue, and she's asking me to pray for hers, you know. So I just mumbled and just prayed. And about 3 hours later, you won't believe what happened. She gets to the line, and the guy and the lady says, ma'am, you have to understand that we have an embargo. You cannot take all this, only 2 you're entitled to. She said, but I do this all the time. I don't care about the embargo. I need to get this stuff to Nigeria. And she said, okay, there's customer service up there. Go deal with them, whatever. And she goes up there, comes back, and all her stuff is still there. She's not getting through. Now, listen now. If it wasn't for my sister that told me what happened, it'd be very hard for me to believe. She said that this lady was giving her a hard time, that no, you cannot do it. So she steps away to the back, and I don't know if it's a supervisor, I don't know, but anyway, it's a guy that is standing there just listening to the dialogue and the conversation that this lady and my sister was having. So when she left, he went on the computer like this, you know. He said, bring them. So she brings 2 bags, 3 bags, 4 bags, and he says, okay, hold on. When she was coming back, he did something to the computer where the lady didn't know what he did. Now the bags are gone. Then she leaves, she does something, and he's standing there. He gets back on the computer. He said, okay, bring 4 more. Listen now, all 28 bags went. And the best part of the whole thing is that he never weighed each bag. Gone. Okay? So she's telling me all this. And I'm still having issues with mine. And I make a statement that I wish I could have taken back. And I said, well, then, Lord, I guess it's not worth it to serve you. Because my prayers are not being answered. What am I going to tell people? If you can't take care of me, you can't answer my prayer. So then I made the mistake, but it's not a mistake. I told my wife what I told the Lord. And she said, ooh, like a good wife, you shouldn't have done that. Amen? God reigns on the just and the unjust. Because I was saying, God, how many Bibles were in the bag? How many gospel tracts were in the bag? I know the ladies will think that's important, shoes and, you know, clothes and, you know. I said, what value is it for the souls of man? And I said, well, God, it's not worth it to serve you. I forgot about that until when we got to Modesto. By the morning time, they had ripped They had taken out a lot of stuff that we had. They stole my hard drives. They stole the camera. They stole DVD players. They took just about everything. Because the dome light in the car wasn't working well, they would have grabbed our passports because it was on the floor. They took my bag. My wife's purse was hidden. They didn't see that. But I'm not kidding. They wiped us out. They took all the valuable stuff out of the car. They took it. Then I talked to a friend of mine, and we're just talking, sharing. If anyone had a chance, give me like 5 minutes, that's all I'll be talking about, was what they did to us. I was so hurt. So the pastor said this. He said, look, somebody stole. He went in the house and put his briefcase on his car. And you know those Bibles that, boy, it's irreplaceable. You'll mark it for years. You know when God spoke to you. You know, tear stains on the Bible. And, you know, I mean, it's valuable. You can't put a price on it. It was in the briefcase with a couple things in there. And he went in the house just to put the groceries in. Within 5 minutes, his briefcase was gone. So he said that God impressed for him to fast, to pray and fast. So he fasted for 3 days, and he asked God, what should he do? It seemed like God impressed on his heart to just put a sign in front of his door. Return Bible, no question asked. And he said in a couple of days, his Bible was sitting in front of his porch. So he was telling me that, and he said, listen, he said, you need to convince God how much those things mean to you. Amen? Well, that's where the rubber meets the road, don't it? If you're going to go through all that and fast, and hey, it's valuable to you. So I said, I'm going to do the same thing he does. I'm a copycat. I'll do the same thing. I'll fast for 3 days. So in the process of me fasting in 3 days, at the third day, nothing. Nothing. So I told the Lord, I said, God, can I break my fast today? I told the Lord, if I'm not going to get it back, just give me peace about it. Just give me the grace to handle it. I'm not going to get it back. So on that third day was a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And so I'm telling you, at that time, anybody that sat beside me was hearing that story because I was so hurt. So I sat down in the Bible and I was talking to one of the ushers. We're visiting a church, and he sat beside me. We're talking. I just blooded out everything. Oh, they came and stole this and Modesto, blah, 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 blah. And I listed the things that they took, you know. And I said, God, you need to let me know if I should break my fast. So then I sat there and he was telling me, and he said, hey, John, come here. He works with the Postal Security Department. He said, John, come here. Come and hear what happened to the missionary. Oh, that's like putting fuel to the fire. You know, I wanted to tell him more. So I told the second guy everything, verbatim. At that point, I could tell it in my sleep. And so he told his little girl, he said, go in the van, because I listed some things, and one of it was a guitar. It was a guitar. And he said, told the girl to go bring, he had two guitars. He said, go bring that other guitar, bring it. And he brought it and he gave it to me. He said, I'm going to give it to you. But what they took from you, I'm going to give it back to you. And I was so shocked that God would give me one of the many things that they took. I didn't need to see the other things, folks. I just needed to hear from God. That's all. And when God spoke to me, I'm going to get a lot of those things back. I went into the room, Pastor. I'll say this. I'll finish up tonight. I went into the room and I never remembered what I told the Lord. as I was weeping and thanking God on my knees, God instantly brought back what I said to him when I was laying in bed. Oh, I felt so bad. God, I'm sorry. God, I didn't mean to say that. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Tears was coming down my face. If I never fasted, I would not have had enough faith to pray for the other things. Listen now, those hard drives, I was able to go to a computer shop to retrieve all those things that they took on my hard drive. And I had all the things. And then the things that I couldn't pay, I couldn't get back. About a couple of weeks later, listen now, we're at another church. And that Sunday morning, as I was getting ready for church, you know how it is when you start to pray and then you don't know why you start to praise God a lot more at particular times? You just don't know why. You just keep praising God and you can't stop. In your prayer time, you just keep praying, praising God, praising God. And that's how I was. For like 15 minutes, I was just praising God. I couldn't get enough of praising the Lord. Later that day, somebody handed me a $1,000 check. They didn't know that there's some things that I couldn't get back, that God gave me the money to buy those things back. All I'm saying is not just the fasting and the prayer. There's a result of that fasting and prayer. Does it increase your faith to trust Him more? He wants to meet all of our needs. The impossible things, the hard things that prayer, just mere praying, you don't have enough faith for that prayer. But the Bible says, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. I don't have enough faith. Take time to pray and fast. Amen.